You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Hello, everyone. Great to see you all here this afternoon. Can everyone who's here in person hear me well? Okay, we're going to hope that my voice holds out. Competing with buses is really difficult. So I'm going to try to project as much as I can. But it's great to see everyone here today. Great to see everyone on Zoom. It's a beautiful day. I had no idea what the weather was going to look like. It's been such an up and down week. But we've got a beautiful day to meet here together. And so I'm excited to be back and continuing to go through the Psalms of Ascent together as a church. And as we've been working through these Psalms, we've talked a lot about how they sort of present our life to us as this journey, sort of this pilgrimage that we're on. And I think in the email that Daryl sent out this week, for those of you who read it, he summed it up really, really well in saying that this journey that's presented to us is often a really complicated one, one that's full of a lot of twists and turns and ups and downs and a lot of uncertainty. And if you've been here for sort of our homesick series up to this point, as we've been going through these Psalms, we've really seen a lot of that in these Psalms, a lot of the uncertainty and the twists and turns that life can throw our way. But we've also been really encouraged in our response to these things. I think Miriam summed it up really well at the beginning of the service. I think if there was one sort of common theme running through all of the Psalms of Ascent, it would be that God is our source of help. Pretty much each psalm sort of hits at that theme a little bit. So we've been really encouraged in our response to the different twists and turns that life can bring our way. And last week, we looked at where we can find rest in the midst of this journey, in the midst of all those times when we feel so overwhelmed and we're facing opposition in this world. We saw that sort of our answer to this is to look for rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was sort of Psalm 123. But it sort of left us with a little bit of an incomplete feeling, almost like we left on a bit of a cliffhanger last week. And we were just talking about at the beginning of the service, I'm not an overly patient person. I don't like cliffhangers. But that cliffhanger was a very intentional one, because Psalm 123, like we said last week, wasn't meant to show us how necessarily we move past our struggles or how we overcome them. It was just how we find hope in the midst of them. It wasn't a psalm that was meant to give us a view to sort of the end of our struggles. But I did promise last week that in this week, we would be looking a little bit more at where we can find some assurance of victory in the midst of these struggles. And that's where Psalm 124 comes into it. Because as we look at this psalm, what we're going to look at is a bit more of where we can find that victory and that assurance of victory. And actually, just to get started, this psalm begins in a little bit of an interesting way. If you look at it in your Bibles, all the other Psalms of Ascent we've looked at up to this point are just labeled as a Psalm of Ascent. But this one specifically opens a little differently because it introduces us to the author. This is a Psalm of Ascent of David. And so we're introduced to King David as the writer of this psalm. And that sort of helps us understand it a little bit more. But what he's writing about is really looking to answer that question of where do we find some assurance of victory over these struggles, these seemingly constant struggles that we face in the world around us. And so as we dive more into this psalm, what we're really going to see is three different ways that we can find that assurance and how this psalm really speaks so much hope for our past, our present, and our future. So as we get started, at its core, this really is a psalm of praise to God, worshiping him for what he's done. But it begins right away with really a heart of reflection, of looking back at the past and what God has already done, remembering his faithfulness. You look at verses 1 and 2, they say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. And so we start with this heart of reflection of looking back over what God has done. And this is right away what the psalm begins to call you and I to. Showing us the first way that we can have that assurance of victory over the different struggles that we face is by reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past. A majority of this psalm is spent with this idea of reflecting, of looking back. And these verses begin the psalm with David doing just that, looking back over his past victories and God's presence with him, as well as the entire nation of Israel. And of the 8 verses of this psalm, 5 of them are dedicated just to this, to looking back. But really that begs the question of why God's faithfulness in our past is so significant. The psalm begins with this invitation to reflect, but why is that so important? Like these are things that have already happened. They're behind us. They're in the past. So why don't we just sort of stick with what's happening now and move forward from there? Why is it so important for us to look back at God's faithfulness in our past? Well, this psalm, it begins with a really big if. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And the next 3 verses sort of give us an explanation of what would have happened to David, what would have happened to the nation of Israel if God had not been with them, if they hadn't had God's constant faithfulness and presence with them. And this is what he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, and over us would have gone the raging waters. Now here again, David really wants us to understand that we live in a dangerous world where we're going to face some pretty intense things. And the only reason any of us can say that we're still here is because of God's faithfulness. So without the help of the Lord, if God had not been with David, if God had not been with the nation of Israel, David's really trying to hammer home this point that he and the entire nation would have been up a creek without a paddle. They would have been completely overwhelmed, completely destroyed. He really wants to hammer home this intensity. And by showing us this, what would have happened without God's help, what would have happened without God's faithfulness, what it does is sort of in turn emphasize the significance of God's help, the importance and the greatness of God's faithfulness. You know, in my reading and researching this passage, it wasn't completely clear what specific situations being written about here, exactly what event prompted the writing of this psalm. There was a couple different options, but no real agreement that I saw. But if you're familiar with the life and the rule of King David, that's mostly described in 1 and 2 Samuel, or really even just the history of the nation of Israel, you know that these words would fit so perfectly with pretty much every point in their history. Pretty much everything that happened, you could apply these words to it. If it had not been God who was with us, we would have been completely overwhelmed. Again, David's story is found mostly in 1 and 2 Samuel, and those books are just full of stories of God's faithfulness to David. You know, you think about David, this youngest of all of his brothers, the shepherd being anointed as king. You think about David and Goliath, this little kid going out onto the battlefield and bringing down this great warrior. You think about his life on the run from King Saul as he was being hunted down to be killed, and all of the countless battles that he had to fight during his life and during his time as king. You know, throughout everything that happened in David's life, he knew that it was by the strength and the provision of God alone that he survived. That if God hadn't been with him in any one of those moments, in any one of those things that he faced, by rights, he should have been dead like 100 times over. Like David should not have survived if not for the help and the faithfulness of God. all of the opposition that faced him, all the opposition that faced the nation of Israel would have completely crushed them. And the main image that he uses to get across sort of the intensity of what he's speaking about here is this idea of water, of a flood and a torrent, these raging waters. And it's some pretty intense imagery. Like, water is not something that you should mess around with. Like, he's not talking about like a windy or a wavy day on Lake Ontario. What comes to mind with this image, at least for me, is this idea of a flash flood. As I was thinking about that this week, I went and I watched a couple of videos, news coverage of some different flash floods that have gone on, even just in 2020. And I don't know if you've ever seen videos of these things, but they are scary. Like, they're crazy powerful. I saw videos of these floods toppling buildings, like collapsing bridges, washing away cars and trucks like they were absolutely nothing. This rushing and raging water is a brutally powerful thing. And if you're caught in it, there's really nothing that you can do to fight against it. If you get caught up in this type of raging water, there's really nothing you can do to fight it. And that's the intensity that David's going for here, that without God, he would have been completely swept away and destroyed by the world around him with really nothing he could do about it. So as David's looking back over his life, over all the times that he would have been completely destroyed, he sees God's faithfulness so clearly in those moments where by rights he shouldn't have made it through. But it's in those moments that he sees God's faithfulness to him so clearly. And he understands that it's only because of God that he's gotten to where he is. I think really the same is true for any one of us. The only reason any of us is able to be here today, the only reason any of us have gotten to this point in our lives is because of the faithfulness of God. And I would really encourage you, if this isn't something that is already a part of your regular devotions and time with God, to really make this kind of reflection a regular habit. You know, as Christians, we don't want to be constantly living in our past, but we really don't want to forget our past or the things that God's done. So whether that's through journaling or writing out a list of prayer requests or even just looking back over old photos to see where life has taken you over the years, I would really encourage you to take some time to look back over your life and see how it is that God's faithfulness has gotten you where you are today. Look for those moments where God has been at work in your life. I know for me, I reflect over just this past year, and I'm blown away by how faithful God has been. You know, Daryl came up to me last week, and he reminded me that last weekend marked 1 year since Elaine and I made the decision to come and to be a part of Liberty Grace. And just to think of all the things that God's done in that 1 year, like allowing for us to come and to be a part of this church, opening doors for us to move into Toronto when really none of that made any sense. Like, none of that made sense. And yet God was so faithful in taking care of us throughout this past year. And that's just 1 year of reflection on how faithful God has been. This kind of reflection is so important, but it's not always easy. You know, maybe as you reflect on your life, you look back at all the things that you've been through and you see especially difficult seasons that you've walked through, you struggle to see where God's faithfulness was at work. You struggle to see where was God during certain points of your life, especially the difficult ones. Well, this psalm gives us hope for that too, even when we can't see God's faithfulness in our own life, because this isn't a psalm that's calling us just to a personal internal reflection, looking back at just our own lives. This psalm also invites us to a corporate reflection, looking back on God's faithfulness to all of his people. It says, "Let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side." This is not meant for just one person alone to look back on their lives, because we can be encouraged by God's faithfulness, not only to us, but by his faithfulness to all of his people. And it's in that, in looking at God's faithfulness to all of his people, that we see a picture of his constant and never changing character. Character of love for his people, of constant provision and protection for those who serve him. You know, there are so many times in life that we feel like we're living in verses 3 to 5. Like we're going to be completely overwhelmed by life, by the world around us, that we can hardly figure out what end is up. We certainly don't see how God's faithfulness is playing out in our lives. But God has given us such a gift in his word. This book, the Bible that we have, that is so full of so many accounts of God's faithfulness to his people and his care for his people. Stories that reveal so much of his character to us. That show us who he is. Because the God that you and I serve today is the exact same God that was so faithful to David throughout all of his life. It's the same God that was so faithful to the nation of Israel, and the same God who promises to continue to be just as faithful to everyone who serves him. And so when you're struggling to see that faithfulness in your own life, you can be encouraged by looking at God's faithfulness to all of his people and seeing his character and knowing that his character will never change. And he's even given us the gift of being able to reflect on his faithfulness to us as a church. You know, the fact that we as Liberty Grace are able to be here today meeting in this park, that is a testament to God's faithfulness. The fact that we're able to meet in person and on Zoom, the fact that Liberty Grace itself has been able to survive in Liberty Village for getting close to 8 years now. Even the fact that God put it in Daryl and Charlene's heart to come and to plant a church in this community when there was no church, that is a testament to God's faithfulness to his people. That is a testament to God's faithfulness to our church. So as we reflect on what God's done for us in our own lives and for all of his people, knowing that without him, we would have been completely overwhelmed and washed away, to be encouraged by seeing all that he's done for us. And so again, that shows us God's faithfulness in our past and how we can find such assurance of victory through reflecting on that faithfulness and being encouraged by it. Then after verse 5, the psalm sort of steps back into the present a little bit. If the first 5 verses were all about reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past, verses 6 and 7 are about showing us how we can have assurance of victory by responding to God's faithfulness in our present. Essentially looking at once we've done the reflecting part and looked back at what God has done, how does that impact us right now? How do we respond to God's faithfulness? And you can see David's response right at the beginning of verse 6. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth." So really the response that we see in this passage as David reflects on all of God's faithfulness is a response of worship, crying out, "Blessed be the Lord." You see that David's just overwhelmed by the faithfulness that God has shown to his people, and he's driven to just cry out in praise. This just seems like the natural response, that once you've seen what God has done, what else can you do but praise him and worship him for all that he's done? And he follows up this declaration of praise and worship with speaking even more about the greatness of what God has done. Again, talking about the danger that would have been faced without God. And he sort of changes up the imagery a little bit here. Instead of someone being swept away by a raging flood and waters, the image sort of changes to an animal escaping from a predator. In verse 7, he says, "We've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we've escaped." And honestly, that doesn't seem like the most flattering of images that David could have used, sort of painting you and I as this weak and helpless bird caught in a trap. But what he's doing here is he's sort of adding on to the images that he's already used to communicate the significance of God's faithfulness and help. In verses 3 and 5, he was really nailing home the intensity of the danger and the intensity of what would have happened without God's faithfulness in our life. And here in verse 7, he's sort of getting at our inability to help ourselves, our inability to deal with all of this on our own. You know, just like a bird who's been caught in the trap of a hunter, who's not able to free themselves, not able to get away, and is facing pretty much certain death. We're completely helpless and vulnerable in this world, in need of God's help and provision. We're facing dangers that are compared to a raging water and flood, and we are helpless as a bird, needing God's help in the midst of that. The psalm is not giving us an attitude that's sort of saying, well, we could have done it, but it was nice that God helped, or God's done a little bit, but I did the rest. That's not the attitude that this psalm is giving to us. Instead, we have this recognition that we could never do these things on our own. And it's that recognition that prompts us to cry out in worship to our God. When we're reminded of what he's done, when we're reminded of our inability to do these things on our own, of how faithful he is. Again, what else can we do but praise him, but worship him, but share about what he's done for us? And really, this flows so naturally out of that first point, that reflection leads to response, leads to this worship of God. We're just prompted to give him that praise in the present as we see his faithfulness in the past. And then finally, as we come to verse 8, the eyes of the psalm turn more to looking towards the future. As we read these words, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the culmination of David's reflection on God's unending faithfulness. It all leads up to this moment, this declaration of assurance that our help is in the name of the Lord. And again, as we've seen already in a number of the Psalms up to this point, God is named once again as the maker of heaven and earth, again reminding us of the power of the God that we serve. And that leads us to the final sort of takeaway from this passage, as we've seen how God's faithfulness impacts our past and our present. This shows us how God's faithfulness is so significant for our future. Because whatever trials you have faced or are facing right now, whatever difficulty you face, that chances are that's not going to be the end of it. Now, there are still plenty of difficult times coming down the road because we still live in a broken world. And that may not seem real great, but we can find assurance of victory in this world by resting in God's faithfulness for our future. Because our God doesn't change. He's been faithful to us in the past, and he will be faithful to us in the future. And this psalm, it really reminds me of the truth of Paul's words in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, where he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, this psalm shows us that if God had not been on our side, we would have been washed away and destroyed. But on the flip side of that, if God is on our side, if God is for us, who can possibly stand against us? What opposition, what struggle, what trial can possibly stand against us if God is for us? No matter what we face in the future. And so as we look back on God's faithfulness in our past and respond to his faithfulness in our present, let these things give us the confidence to rest in his faithfulness for our future. I think, like we said last week, even though we may not see an end to our struggles in our future on earth, we have an eternal future secured for us in the gospel. That's something that no one can ever take away. You know, that's something that I love so much about Psalm 124 is that this psalm is just so saturated with the truth of the gospel. Like, this psalm lays out the gospel story so clearly. Like, you think about reflecting on God's faithfulness in our past and that declaration, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. You think, if God had not loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross in our place, we would have been utterly destroyed. Like a bird caught in a hunter's trap or someone washed away in a flood, facing the deserved consequences for our sin, unable to save ourselves by our own merit or effort. But because of God's love and his faithfulness to us, we've been rescued from that state, and we've been given the privilege of being able to cry out to God and praise him for all that he's done, crying out, "Blessed be the Lord." As we reflect on what God's done for us through Christ, we're able to have confidence that no matter what has happened, what is happening, or what will happen in the future, we can rest in God's faithfulness, in our right standing before God, in Jesus Christ, and the future that he has prepared for us. That is the confidence that this psalm gives us. That is the confidence that the gospel gives us. And so right there, the psalm gives us really that comprehensive view of God's faithfulness in our past and our present and our future. And so as I end, I want to sort of ask you, where are you in that journey? You know, maybe you're someone who's faced a lot of really intense struggles in your past. Maybe you're someone who's facing really difficult things right now, or maybe you're someone where those struggles are going to come in the future. Well, whatever the case, no matter where you are, we can be encouraged by the example that is set for us by David in this psalm. And I want to encourage all of us, take time to reflect on God's faithfulness in the past, in your life, in the life of the church, and through scripture. Reflect on God's faithfulness in the past. Take some time this week to respond to God's faithfulness in the present. Just give him the glory for what he has done. And then finally, rest in the assurance of victory that we are given through Christ for our future. An eternal future that nothing in this world can change. As the psalm says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for who you are. Lord, as we look back, we acknowledge that if it had not been for your help, if it had not been for your faithfulness, Lord, we would have been swept away. Lord, we would have been overwhelmed. But God, because you are so faithful, Lord, you have rescued us, you have preserved us, you have given us the opportunity to be here today, to respond in worship, crying out your praises, Lord, because you deserve all of the worship we could ever give for what you've done. And Lord, I thank you for the confidence that you've given us for our future through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. Lord, you've done for us what we could never do for ourselves. And so, Lord, help us to remember that this week, to reflect on your faithfulness, to sing your praises, and to rest in the confidence that we have in Christ. Lord, we love you and we praise you for who you are. And we pray this in your name. Amen.